This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, I'm here. Hi, everyone. Good evening. And welcome to ENN. Huh? Am I right or am I right?
Huh?
ENN. Tonight? Oh, it's brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash. Get more from your neighborhood. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
We've always picked at 5:45.
Good evening to Don.
If you do not agree with this thing, you're a moron.
Really, well, then I'm a moron.
You're
put
a
me
functioning
under the head of a moron.
Idiot.
Good evening to Michael again.
Let's Star, break.
Give me a break.
I don't want to go
five,
deep
give
into
me a
the
break.
5
Stop
o'clock
it.
Hour.
Stop yourself.
Stop.
Good evening to Don.
We would be morons not to do it.
And one more time to Michael and Don.
Can we break on time? Or
I hate when you don't listen.
And lastly, good evening to myself. By the way, did you guys know that Sade Badernois?
Sade.
What did I say? Sade?
You messed it up.
Sade. Sade
no,
Badernois.
Sade.
What did I say?
It wasn't Sade.
Sade.
There you go.
Sade Badernois.
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 Badernois. We got there. Now, if you're asking, what are you guys talking about there? Why are you talking about the great Sade Badernois? It's because we were talking about a newscaster from WSAZ in West Virginia who was hit by a car while on live TV. And for everyone who's out and about and can't watch the clip, we have audio of her getting hit and then the reaction from the anchor, which has drawn some ire because he doesn't seem concerned. Now we know he wasn't able to see her, but here's how it played out.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Tori.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
man.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you, sure you're
you
okay?
are so sweet and you are okay. It is all good. You know, oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from the look at you.
I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes. But this is live TV, and everything's okay.
Okay. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He may be a very sweet guy. He admitted there that he saw it and didn't really react.
But even if he's faking it, that he didn't see it, and he's just playing off that he did see it, could he break from character at all? Like, he still had to, like, maintain the professionalism. Like,
that's
still
that's
had to
what
keep the
is.
Voice and the – like, everything stayed as if –
Never see that on live TV. You never see that one on live TV.
Now he's got a question. Were you hit high or were you hit low?
Yeah, like we're trying to report it. Yeah. Like this is important for people to know where the injury occurred. That's such a great point, Don.
So I think he's a bad guy.
You think he's just evil?
Well, come on. It's television
in
West Virginia. Can you show some? Because you still. Oh, we got to be professional here. We got to continue to maintain the calm of the newscast. Now, were you hit high? Or were you hit low? Oh, hit by a car. I see. Oh, like, come on, just break. It's like, oh, my God, are you okay? You were hit by a car. Like, how are you when you hear her say, I was hit by a car, how is your reaction not, oh, my God, are you okay?
Right, so let me ask you.
Was it high or low?
Let me ask you a question. We're doing our show, Yankee season. I'm in the press box at Fenway Park, which is very high. And while I'm talking, I fall out of the window. What would you do? You would just do the show. You wouldn't even say, I wonder if he's okay.
Oh, yeah, that would, that's what we do.
I fall out the window on live TV on Yes. Tumble out the window. Surely plummeting my death. What are you doing?
Sure. I think we go, Michael has taken a fall.
But you wouldn't be screaming, oh, my God.
Well, hold on. If we saw, no. Just for the record, if God forbid you tumbled out of the window at Yankee Stadium, at Fenway, while we're talking to you, Don and I see it.
Right. Yeah.
I believe we would be screaming.
Well, you see it about 10 minutes later.
Well, right. We'd see it later. Well, Don would see it. I wouldn't even have it on, so I'd have to go hustling to try to turn on the thing. But then I believe, Don, we would scream like crazy people.
Of course.
Scared. Yeah, we wouldn't just go, oh, no, Michael has fallen.
He's taking a fall. Michael has fallen out of the press box. Now, can we see? I see Michael. It looks like you're bleeding from the head. Michael, did you fall on your head or your – I'm not sure. We're going to have to get back to Michael on this, but let's go to the weather.
Don, and then they cut to a shot of Michael, and he looks like Jim Carrey when he falls off the tarmac in Dumb and Dumber, like
right.
Splattered on the ground.
One of my friends just texted me that they would say see and move on.
Oh, wow. That's just not true.
You got to let the natural instinct take over. She was hit by a car. I understand you want to maintain your professionalism to a point, but I'm sorry. The broadcast becomes secondary after somebody you work with just got hit by a car. Like, we're supposed to applaud him because he kept it together on the air because the news is so important. That water main break comes first, Peter.
Yeah. Can we at least get an oh, my goodness? Oh, my goodness. She went down.
How would Cronkite have handled it?
I always say, what WWCD? You know? Or I actually do WWERMD. You know? That's how I live. WWE. No, that's a website. WWERMD.
Who is
what
that on?
Would. Don't know.
Come on. Both of you should be ashamed of yourself. Andrew, you know. WWERMD. You said Cronkite. I one-upped you.
Oh, what? Edward R. Murrow?
What would Edward R. Murrow do? That's right. How would Murrow handle this?
You didn't even have an M in
there.
You bumped
down low, Tori, or were you hit up high?
ERMD.
You didn't have an M in there. You had ER. You called them Edward R.
No, I said ERMD.
Oh.
Don?
Yeah, you got it right.
The
guy with the Hindenburg. Like, that's the reaction you give.
Yeah.
The Hindenburg
humanity.
Is on fire. Apparently, there are people hanging on to the ladder and falling and plummeting to their death. Back to you, Susan. No, you react like, oh, dear God. That's what you say.
Nice. But this is life.
Oh, it can happen. Ho-ho.
No, the first line I think he had was, well, you don't see that on live TV every day. Really? A bad joke?
Yeah, this guy is an absolute
monster.
Old fart news turd.
Oh, my God. All right, let's move on. The Los Angeles Lakers have been floundering, and it continued last night with a home loss to the Pacers. Got so bad that Russell Westbrook was benched. And let's hear from the now borderline embattled head coach, Frank Vogel, on his job security in L.A.
I don't feel like I'm under siege. It's not hard to do my job. I'm very focused on the task at hand. I've always been that way. And it's really not up to me whether it's fair or not. It comes with the territory. You know, it comes with being the Lakers coach. We have high expectations. This fan base really cares. It's a big market. You know, I wouldn't want it any other way, to be honest with you.
I think it's unfair. The guy won a championship in the toughest year to win one in the middle of a pandemic in a bubble. And now 2 years later, after you make trades for Russell Westbrook and you turn the team old, you trade all their young depth, and it's on him? So he was good enough to win with other players, but now that you brought in Westbrook, who wasn't even in the last 5 minutes, and Anthony Davis has been injured for 2 months, and you're going to blame Frank Vogel. What a profession this is right now.
It's a great point by you. And you guys watched the game last night. The Nets game, that is. That trade, we talked the other day about there's not always winners and losers. Sometimes both teams win. That's what we hope happens here with The Knicks' recent move. The Wizards won that trade. The Wizards got rid of a player that they were. It was addition by subtraction. But you guys saw last night, Kuzma and Caldwell Pope are playing well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a bad move by the Lakers. And by the way, kind of telegraphed. Let's go to resident basketball expert Andrew Gunling. Did you think it was going to work out when Russell Westbrook went to L.A.? I immediately thought it has not worked anywhere. Why would that work here?
I guess he's walking Rocky.
But Andrew's obviously doing something. But do you guys see what I'm saying? Westbrook ended up in Washington because it hadn't been working out. And then it didn't work out there to the point that they said, well, listen, we're obviously keeping Bradley Beal. The piece that we need to get rid of is Russell Westbrook. And he's incredible. Like, from a sheer talent standpoint, Russell Westbrook's phenomenal. But for some reason, he's just not on winning basketball teams.
He's also not a great defender.
Well, that's what people are really upset about now. Huh. It's not only that he's shooting the ball terribly, he's not giving effort on defense.
Now, I guess that the Lakers front office essentially think they can put anybody with LeBron and win. And that's too much on LeBron. I mean, also, Anthony Davis is not there. Robin is not there. Mm. You're going to blame Frank Vogel.
It's just an easy thing to do, right? Let the coach go.
Well, who's going to be the coach again? Kurt Rambis? You know what their record was when what's the name of the former Knick coach? One who had no clue.
Woodson. Oh, no clue. Oh, the former player. No.
The guy was here.
The player who just randomly popped up as their head coach.
Fizdale. David Fizdale.
Oh,
Fizz.
They were 1-5 with him. Want to name David Fizdale because he's close with LeBron? Kurt Rambis is now in power again, just under Rob Pelinka. So Kurt Rambis went in and told Frank Vogel, this has to stop, you're going to get fired. Kurt Rambis, who also was an assistant of Phil Jackson here in New York, that worked out. By the way, I got a very interesting text from Chris Carlin regarding what we said previously, like if I fell out of the window at Fenway Park. This is what Chris said. They break and come back with new Don and Peter show rejoinders.
That's not nice.
True, though.
No, it's not true.
That is both of your dreams. I'm not saying me dying, but me leaving.
If God forbid you fell out of the window at Fenway Park and plummeted to your violent death, Don, I think it would be at least a week before we even came back on the air.
Really? What would be on the air instead?
A very special Carlin?
The tributes would be just nauseating.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high?
Who asked that question? Seriously.
That's what I asked Michael.
Where she
Michael,
was
Michael, Michael, is it a head? It's a head thing, or is it your neck? Both? It's the neck and the head. Oh, this is bad, Don. Don, it appears his head and neck. Oh, no,
broken.
No.
You know, I was actually doing the Yankee game with John Sterling, and somebody fell out of the upper deck right past us.
Yeah, really? The show. I'm seeing it on Twitter now.
Yeah.
When?
Onto the screen. I guess it was.
They lived?
Yeah. And then laid prone on the screen for like, this is when the screen covered the fans, doesn't anymore. Laid there for about 7 minutes. There were hard cables on the screen. So you thought, God forbid this person's paralyzed. And then got up and started dancing. So obviously he was a bit inebriated.
Yeah, but like in the clip, like Jorge Posada, legitimate concern for a complete stranger who fell. And this is supposed to be a colleague, and he starts interviewing her where she got hit.
But maybe he thought, she's leaving for Pittsburgh anyway.
I want to see this clip. I got to find this clip. Don, can you send that to me?
Yes, dear.
How have I not seen that?
Huh. It's all over. It's been sent by a bunch of different people, but I will retweet the one
I don't
see.
Know why they didn't send it to me. They don't think I want to see a random person plummet onto the... All right, well, I'll find it.
Graphics Joker just tweeted out, if you fell, Peter would be busy making coffee outside while walking the dogs.
Yeah, what did I miss?
And I come back, and Don goes,
well, you should have seen this.
What happened? Yeah. What happened?
And Michael thinks that we'd be on the phone during the commercial break with Brown Shirt, like getting imaging for our new show.
Right, because you'd say, I'm Don, and I'm Peter. And this is a Michael, this is a Don and Peter show. Oh, Brown Shirt would have it done in a moment.
Wait, do they have actual visuals of the person falling, or is just sitting there like a yo-yo?
Just sitting like a yo-yo. They don't have the image of him falling.
By the way, what an absolute idiot.
I don't think he wanted to fall.
What a lucky – but he had to be doing something. This is old Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Was it easy to – actually, those railings are low.
No, it wasn't easy. I mean, it happened once in 75 years, so I don't think it was real easy.
But was he going after a foul ball? Like,
no, what? It was a play. It wasn't even – play wasn't even in play. It was between pitches. He fell.
Well, and by the way, it looks like from the looks of this, Don, the gap from the net to the railing is like 5 feet. And can I just tell you? The cops did not grab him like they were worried about his safety.
Well, because he played, you know, dead for like – everybody was worried that he was really hurt.
Oh, and then he just got up and walked.
Not even walked. He was dancing. And
if he's inebriated, Michael, he couldn't look more than like 16. And the only one that really showed no concern, Ozzie Guillen, could care less. He didn't seem legitimately concerned.
You know what Rick DiPietro just said? Oh, mm-hmm.
Who cares?
No, this one you like. He said, and I quote, could you imagine the amount of damage Carlin would have done to that car?
Oh, man.
That's, I got to tell you, it's I didn't laugh, but that is a very funny joke.
So if Rick was the anchor, he'd be like, how's the car?
Oh, he would, there would be emotion. Might not be proper emotion, but there would be emotion. Rick's a professional.
You think Rick could go right into that mode?
I think Rick could do anything he ever wanted to do and be great at it, anything.
You think he's capable of convincing the Yankee announcer to leave his wife and spend forever with him?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous.
Well, then he can't do everything.
That one I would think is on the table there, Don. All right, let's move forward, shall we? We mentioned the game last night between the Nets and the Wizards, and there was a crazy moment when
one more thing, Peter. The Anthony Greig dug this up. The police that night at the stadium said the guy said he told three friends he was sitting with that he was going to test whether the net would hold his weight, and then he jumped.
No.
Yeah.
So he should be institutionalized.
Well, he slapped with 3 years probation.
Let's find where he is. We'll do a whole show with the popcorn guy, the guy that fell in the netting.
Do you bring in Fan Man? Or is he like on a different level?
Oh, different level. That was actually a little creative.
Fan Man was something else.
Yeah.
If you didn't live through Fan Man, I feel sorry for you. You know, that was a real time in boxing. Between Fan Man and Galata and the Bo Galata low blow riot, Don, where you're seeing like Lou Duva getting chased with a flashlight.
At the Garden, right?
Yeah, at the Garden. Yeah. That's the era of boxing.
That was when WWE and boxing fused.
It was basically all the same thing. Except the difference is it was legitimately scary during these boxing events. So let's hear from Kyle Kuzma talking about the Nets assistant interfering with a ball. Like a pass is going to Kuzma, and this assistant just reaches out and his hand touches the ball. Clearly the refs missed it. Here's Kuzma talking about it in his presser.
Oh, I mean, that was also horseshit too. I mean, coaches should not be able to stand up. I mean, I get it if it's under 2 minutes. I mean, everybody in the league stands up, but I feel like it was like 3:50 on the clock. You're standing up, you got Steve Nash blocking the refs' view, you can't see shit. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but you know, it's very unfortunate, but you just got to live with it. You know, we had an opportunity at the end. I missed a shot. Live and die with it. You know, it happens.
I tell you, I really like Kyle Kuzma. He's a young man, and I appreciate the emphasis he put on horse S. You don't hear that every day from a young man.
I love it. But here's the problem with the NBA and basketball in general. Like, the only other sport that's similar is football. Like, all the coaches and players are the sideline, but there's a big – what is that? Probably about 5 yards of the white where you're kind of away from the play.
Not 5 yards. But it's
significant enough where you're not just like accidentally wandering on the field during play. But basketball, because of the fans, they're so close to the court that you can see like maybe he was trying to gesture or set a play and it just hand happens to be in the field of play. They're too close, but you'll never change it because that means maybe losing a row of seats behind them. Because they want to try to make as much money as possible, but they're way too – the fans and the players and the coaches are way too close to the play. He's right.
By the way, Peter, Carlin has answered back.
No.
Okay.
He said, I sure know Rick wouldn't be able to stop the car.
That, you know what?
Very good.
Well, Don really liked that.
That one. I feel bad, but it's even Rick would have to say that's nice.
Somehow the car went five hole. You didn't even think it's possible.
Oh, wow. I'll get up and walk away.
Right between his legs somehow. The full Hyundai right there. Interesting night in the NBA last night, especially for Jokic and Embiid. Jokic had 49, 14, and 10 in an overtime win against the Clippers. The third starting center since 1970 to record a 45-point triple-double, joining Alvin Adams, which I would not have guessed, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Embiid matched his career high last night with 50 in a win over the Magic. Did it in only 27 minutes. The second fewest minutes played in a 50-point game in the shot clock era.
I know who was the fastest.
Who's that?
Clay.
That's right. I got to tell you, that's
26 minutes, right?
That's 26:33. That sounds like an obscure stat. It's not. That efficiency, the time for a 50-point game, that's pretty cool. 27 minutes. Wow.
By the way, Daily News Nets reporter Christian Winfield reporting that the NBA is investigating Vanderpool's tip pass incident. He's going to get suspended. You watch.
Yeah, and deservedly so.
He's getting something. Well, he won't be the only one. Now, before I get to that, I like this list Andrew sent. Fewest minutes in a 50-point game. We just said Embiid, 27:03. Clay is the shortest, 26:33. Clay again did 60 in 29:03. Wow. C.J. McCollum in 29:16, he did 50. And Lillard did 50 in 29:29. It's crazy.
Hey, Andrew, is Andrew back from Walking Rocky? Embiid might be an MVP this year.
Yeah, I think he's now tied for the third shortest odds.
He's had some. I mean, he's like taking that next step.
He's incredible. I mean, he always had, you know, for a guy his size, he's got good range and he's got good ball handling skills. But last night, I mean, he took a rebound, went the length of the court, went behind his back, finished at the rim. There's nothing he can't do now. Shooting, down low, post up, outside. He's incredible. I don't know how you stop him.
Do you have a poster over the matrimonial bed?
No.
An Embiid poster, no?
No.
Still. Iverson, right?
Just Iverson. Just Allen.
I got to tell you, though, it's an interesting list, Andrew, talking about where Embiid is sort of getting in, like, Sixers and Philadelphia sort of lore. I know it's early for all-time Philadelphia lore, but like he's on a path that when you think about it, we're talking he could end up being an all-time Philly sports icon.
Yes, he's going to have to get past the second round, I think. But a lot of Sixer fans don't necessarily blame him for that. In terms of Sixers in my lifetime, I mean I was young when Barkley was a Sixer, so I didn't catch most of that, but he's catching Iverson really fast, faster than I would have thought.
If Kawhi Leonard's shot rims out,
yeah,
is do you think he's already higher in the conversation?
He might be because I think they go to the finals and then
who knows?
Who knows? That's when Durant and Klay both got hurt for Golden State. I mean, things might have been different, but that Sixer team had Jimmy Butler and Simmons and J.J. Redick. That was a really good team.
Worry, they still have Simmons. That's good.
yeah.
Speaking of Michael mentioned the potential fine for the Nets assistant, but what about Kyrie Irving, who's also been fined $25,000 for directing obscene language toward a fan in Cleveland?
They're doing a lot. The NBA is cracking down on language. If you curse during a press conference, they're hitting you with big numbers.
Oh, is Kuzma going to get even just for the S words?
Yeah, he might. Probably. Oh, yeah, he might. And Randall got, what was it, $50,000 for saying bleep the fans? Or shut the bleep up.
But you can understand that.
Yeah, that's
customers.
A lot of regional sports networks and even national networks carry that live.
Guys, I think we should return with a couple more stories if you're okay with it, including I have two baseball stories, both of which I find fascinating.
Hmm.
Maybe we could also make our NFL picks too when we come back.
By the way, ENN tonight is brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple-Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy Spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly. More ENN next right here on The K-Show.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's ENN. Continuing on this Thursday, January 20th. And I teased this, so I'll lead with it because it's the kind of guy I am. The MLB stories that I found interesting. The Tampa Bay Rays have been shut down. They'd been working on a plan to try to have a sister city in Montreal to make things work better for Tampa, who we know has struggled forever now with attendance and support in Tampa. And Major League Baseballs have scrapped the idea, and they are now back to the drawing board trying to figure out something that can work. Quote, we're certainly going to be exploring in the Tampa Bay region. Their goal is to keep it there. They say the goal is to keep it in the Tampa-St. Pete area, but they need help. And that was, they felt the sister city was a great approach, but Major League Baseball, not interested.
And the reason they were, the way it was going to work, they would train in Florida. They would play the first 2.5 months of the season in an open-air ballpark that would be built. And then once it hit June, then they would play, or middle of June, they would play the remainder of the games in Montreal where the weather is not as cold after June. Might get a little dicey in September. And then every other year they would go back and forth about where they would play their postseason games, if they're in the postseason. And they felt that in that scenario, they could also have an open-air stadium built in Montreal, because the real expense in a stadium is when you have a roof. And they need a roof in Tampa if they're going to play in the summer months where it rains all the time. So I don't know why Major League Baseball pulled the plug on it. I don't. I could see why Tampa Bay was doing it. I don't like the plan. I don't think the baseball players would have approved the plan, because you have to have two homes, pay for two homes. And Major League Baseball just said, no, we're not going to allow it, after they did all the legwork on it.
I know they want to expand, Michael, and Nashville and Montreal are two cities that they're thinking of expanding to. Did they feel like if we just, because of Montreal's interest in getting an expansion team, if Tampa plays half their time there, then eventually the Rays would just end up having to move there?
Could be. It could be. I know that Nashville is a sure place that they want to expand. I'm not sure what the second one is going to be. I mean, Montreal has already lost a team, but they've given teams to areas that have lost teams before, like Washington.
So yeah,
can be done. And if they have a better stadium than that monolith, the Olympic Stadium, maybe it would work. But you know, now they have to go back to work and try to get to, there's a historic place in Tampa called Ybor City, which is beautiful, great restaurants, just a lovely street and area. And they're thinking about maybe building a stadium there. And the price is $700 million, but that's an open-air stadium, and it would be like 28,000 seats, which is very small, but they say that there would be demand for tickets, but we'll see if that happens.
There's a lot of work to kind of make something fit that doesn't seem to be fitting that well.
And also the area doesn't, they don't want to pay for it. And, you know, the Rays said they'd pay for half of it, but Tampa said, well, we're not paying for half. I think a lot of cities are getting tired of, like, subsidizing billionaires.
Yeah.
Now, the other baseball story that is really big, in my opinion, actually, the robot umpires have been promoted to AAA baseball.
Do they know they're promoted if they're robots?
It's a great question. Like, yeah. Are they celebrating tonight?
Yeah, I don't know.
But that is now just one step away from it potentially being a reality in Major League Baseball. Automated strike zone.
I will tell you this, and I told Andrew this during the break when he pointed the story out to me. If they think that that's going to speed up games, it's going to have the exact opposite effect. Because umpires can speed up games by calling a little bit off the corner, a little bit high, a little bit low. Well, now a robot ump is going to call the exact strike zone. See how many pitchers are going to throw an exact strike. And if they do, it's going to be hard to get hitters out. The game's going to be longer if you do that. Now, no one likes to see their team get rooked on a bad call. But if you are going to call the letter of the law strike zone, there are going to be ramifications that I wonder if they realize, like length of game, ability of pitchers to throw strikes. And if you do throw within that 17-inch wide strike zone, hitters are going to hit a lot better than if they have to protect slightly off the plate or slightly inside.
It's a good point.
I have one other baseball note, Peter.
Wow, a third note.
Jeff Passan reporting that the owners and the players are going to meet on Monday, and the players' union will give their counterproposal to what the owners gave the last time.
It's getting late.
Early.
I mean, spring training is right around the corner. It's not that far away, right, Michael? When would pitchers and catchers report?
February 14th.
This is going to hurt you, Michael. Emiratu Kanu's out of the Australian Open.
No, why? Yeah.
She lost to Danka Kovanec. 6-4, 4-6, 6-3. Wow. I haven't thought about Radu Kanu. Guys, I think that's a fairly high seed for me. Do you remember
Emma,
the original?
Oh, yeah. Radu
Kanu.
So if Danka married one of the finalists for the Giants GM job, her name would be Danka Shane. Thank you, Don. One Wayne Newton fan in the crowd.
So
nothing, Peter. Nothing, right?
What, for the joke?
Yeah. Nothing.
Sorry. Yeah, I just treated Michael like the reporter. I enjoyed Don Cashane. Sorry, I didn't mean to treat you like the reporter in the with the.
Are you bumped down low, Tori, or you hit up high?
The absolute start to spring training would be 4 weeks from tomorrow, I'm told.
Also, Australian Open. Yesterday, it was Medvedev versus Kyrgios. And
that's not how you pronounce his name.
Kyrgios, I know, whatever. Yeah. It should be Kyrgios, okay? So I have to say Kyrgios. There's no sound between the R and the G.
Oh, so you're going to pronounce people's names the way you want.
It's Emma, spelled Raducanu.
So then if the giant GM comes from Buffalo, call him, Shoen, because you don't believe it sounds looks like Shane.
I don't know. Kyrgios. By the way, do you guys know that Sade Badernois? What did I say? Anyways, Nick Kyrgios and Medvedev played. Medvedev wins, and Medvedev had quite the post-match interview. Let's hear.
You sometimes show more emotions than we saw tonight. You were incredibly calm and focused. Was that part of your strategy coming out here, dealing with what Nick and the crowd can bring to a night like this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only choice when you get booed between first and second serve. It's not easy, so you just had to stay calm and win the match. Sorry, I can't hear you.
I'll try it again.
Guys, I can't hear him, please. Show some respect for Jim Courier. He won't hear, guys. Thank you. Let him speak, please, guys. If you respect somebody, at least respect Jim Courier.
What I was saying is...
I cannot hear him, guys.
I'm going to come a little closer.
That is some of the best heel work I've heard.
It is great heel work. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, literally, he's just crushing these fans. He also said in a separate interview that the fans, this may be why they're upset, the fans of the Australian, quote, probably just have a low IQ.
Ooh.
So that could be part of it. Guys, on this day, the 2007 NFC Championship game held in 2008, after missing two potential game-winning field goals in the fourth quarter, you know what happened there? You know what happens. You know what happened? You know what? Let's hear it.
Third time's a charm.
Let's go back.
And here we are again. 47-yard try. His longest attempt of the game. He has missed his last two. Can he send the Giants to the Super Bowl? The kick is good. And the Giants are going to the Super Bowl.
23-20, the Giants beat the Packers and go on to beat the Patriots and win the Super Bowl.
Further news from that, yesterday, Tom Coughlin's face finally defrosted.
Yeah.
He was very cold. I remember he was very cold that day. And that'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening.
I do want to tidy up one little note I gave you. Spring training would start 4 weeks from yesterday, not tomorrow.
Ah, that won't.
4 weeks from yesterday.
Now we can breathe.
All right, you can breathe now. We'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Lead you right into the Nick pregame show. Can they snap their losing streak of two at the Garden? Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.